Thank you so much. I'm Dan Janelle, the president and founder of PR Leads, and I want to welcome you to our session today on how thought leaders can pitch their books and their ideas to the media. Some of you are my old fans. You've followed me for a while. You'll be pleased to know that I've just finished my 13th book. It's called Write Your Book in a Flash. It's the paint-by-number system to writing the book of your dreams fast. And it should be out in the first quarter. We have a new book cover here. Some of you who've been on previous seminars might have seen a mock-up of a different cover. Well, this is the final version. And this is a lesson for everyone. You know, I don't toot my own horn in these things. Everything I say, I do to help you. We went through a lot of iterations with book covers. And when you produce your first book and you might have a publisher, you will notice that in the contract, most publishing contracts say the publisher has final approval of the cover and the title. And this is a right you do not want to give up. You want to be able to go to them and say, no, I don't like your idea. I want this instead. And in this case, they had the idea of putting a clip art of a bulb on the cover. And I said, bulbs, you know, bulb, it says smart, bulb doesn't say flash. And it said lightning bolt says flash. And then they talked to their artist, and they designed this little lightning bolt with a pencil or a pen nub at the end. And, you know, it looks pretty cool. So that's collaboration, and that's the kind of relationship you should have with your publisher or your artist. So there's a little word to the wise there. Now, some of you don't know me, so let me just do a little brief introduction here about me. I'm Dan Janelle. I'm the founder and president of PRLeads.com. This is a subscription service that helps thought leaders get publicity. We've been doing it for more than 17 years now. It's one of the first subscription services on the internet, one of the certainly longest lasting services on the internet, and I'm proud to have been there at the very beginning. In fact, I wrote the first book about marketing on the internet. It was called The Online Marketing Handbook. That was way back in 1993. That's when Al Gore and I were like the only people on the internet. It has since been translated into several different languages. I've written 13 books. I taught the first internet marketing class at Berkeley. I taught internet branding at Stanford. So it's been a long, wild, crazy trip. Those books have led to speaking engagements all over the world, literally from Beijing to Budapest and just about everywhere in between. So that's a little bit about me. I've been featured in many media, the New York Times, USA Today, Forbes, National Public Radio, Investors Business Daily, and CNBC, and many others. And that's why you're here today. You are here today because you want to get more publicity to promote your book, your business, and your brand so you can make more money and influence more people. And you don't have a clue how to do this. Otherwise, you'd be here. You wouldn't be here. So you're looking for a new tool to add to your toolkit. So let's dig right in. First of all, we have to understand, what is news? And Hank asks, what's the most important part in delivering a pitch in our digital age? And I think these two go hand in hand. And thank you for that question, Hank. And many of you have submitted questions, and I'll be referring to them throughout this seminar. So thank you very much in advance for that. So what is news? News, frankly, is whatever the news editor tells you is news. That's what we learned when I was a student, a journalism student at Northwestern, which was arguably the best journalism school in the country. That was one of the first questions they asked us on the very first day. Said, what is news? And people said, oh, celebrity stuff is news. And they said, great. A disaster is news. And, you know, that's great, too. Company announcements are news. And they certainly are. But when it really comes down to it, it's whatever the news editor decides is news. So that's why you see in a newspaper, you see cartoons, you see horoscopes, you see sports, you see lifestyles, you see obituaries, you see news about Congress and the president and international relations and on and on and on. All of that is news. And it doesn't really change. What's changed today is the fact that you are a publisher. We've actually broken down, not me, but this is accepted in, you know, PR and journalism circles, what we call the PESO model, P-E-S-O, where P stands for paid news. That's the advertising and press releases. This is news that you control. You control the message. You control when people see it, how often they see it. That's what advertisers do. That's what press releases can do. You have complete control over the information. Then there's earned media. And this is what we think of as traditional media, where a PR person gets on the phone or sends a pitch letter to a reporter and says, hey, my client has this great story. Are you interested? And we'll go into that in much more detail. This is very simplistic. And the reporter says yes or no. If they say yes, then you need to work with them and supply them information and interviews and quotes and all good stuff. And that's earned, because you really have to work to get that. It's not easy. And that's why you're here, because it's not easy. And I'm going to show you ways to make you more successful doing that during this hour together. The S stands for social media, because this means that you can comment on other people's news. You can add your own opinions, your own comments, and post your information. I mean, when my clients get quoted in the media, they go on social media and say, hey, check out this article on Forbes. I was quoted in Forbes. I was quoted in the Wall Street Journal. Look at my comments here. So social media is a way of amplifying your news and commenting on other people's news. And frankly, a lot of reporters use social media as well to find sources and tell people what they're working on. And this is a great way for you to interact with them. And that's another tactic that that should definitely be in your toolkit for pitching the media. And the O stands for owned media. And this is the greatest change in the internet. And that means that you are the publisher and you can create your own content and disseminate it to your followers. This could be on your blogs, your YouTube channel. You could post articles on LinkedIn and other social media services. And people who follow you on LinkedIn will then see your information. You could post articles in certain news groups as well to affect your and reach your communities and your stakeholders. And this is a big deal because we are bypassing the traditional media, which has always acted as a gatekeeper to decide what is news and what is not news. Now we still want the branding effects and the distribution effects of traditional media. But unlike anything we've ever seen in history, really, the last 20 years have shown us that people can become publishers and bypass the media and get their message out to their stakeholders without working with the media. So, Hank, that is the most important change in the digital age, that you are the publisher. Now, Angie asks, on the next slide, how can I nail down the story so I can attract the right audience? And Nancy also asks, how can I match my company story to the journalist or the editor or the influencer? And I love that, frankly, Nancy. Thank you very much. The influencer, because we do want to reach influencers and stakeholders. So let me repeat the question because I didn't get through it. How can I match my company story to the journalists, editors, and influencers who need and want it, so it's a win-win situation? And I love the fact you say it's a win-win, because that's the attitude you have to have. It's got to be a win-win. You have to supply the reporter with exactly what they need. Now, if you look at my graphic, this is the perfect pitch formula. It's you have your story, and this is the message that you want to get out there. And on the other side of the circle are the reporter's needs. The reporter has like three basic needs. One, they want to make their readers happy. Two, they want to make their editor happy. And three, if they meet those two needs, then they're happy. So you notice one of those needs is not you. No, you are not a part of their equation in what their basic needs are. The only place where you fit in to their needs is if you give them the perfect pitch. And that is the intersection of your story and their needs. So we're going to look at what their needs are, and then we're going to go into workshop mode, because a number of you have submitted questions and ideas of your own, and I'm going to give you help. And you'll see, everyone on the call will see, how their own stories can relate to these workshop ideas that other people have submitted in advance. But remember, this is the diagram you're looking for. We're looking for the perfect pitch where your story intersects with the reporter's needs, and it's your job, not the reporter's job, to figure out where your story helps that reporter. So on the next slide, let's look at some techniques for creating messages. You know, what do reporters look for? You know, let's make this easy on yourself so you have to rack your brains. You know, if you have any of these categories, reporters want to write about it. And that would be true news. Now, news is not necessarily war breaks out or Korea goes to the peace table or whatever, you know, that's not news that you and I are going to be commenting on. So let's not even talk about that. What we're talking about here are news that local newspapers and trade publications and magazines and TV and radio really care about. And that's local information. And they're looking for things like awards, hirings, promotions, new products, new ideas. I have one client here in Minneapolis. They make drones, and they write press releases every time they have a new drone or a new drone application, and it gets printed up in all these farm journals and trade publications and stuff because they're focusing on agriculture and drones. And it's great. Press release, bingo, instant publicity. This agriculture community wants to write about them. So it's great. Great. We'll get into the local newspaper. Well, they're having a little harder time about that because the 374,000 people who read the Minneapolis Star Tribune are not farmers. A few of them are, but most of them aren't, and most of them don't care. So they have not quite found the intersection of their story and the local readers. However, it would be very easy to say that, you know, they're growing rapidly, they're being expanded, they just have a joint relationship with the University of Minnesota and their agriculture school. So that's more likely to appeal to a wider group of people, and they probably will get written up in the paper there. The next bullet point, news you can use. This is the backbone of every publication there is, because every publication wants to make their readers happier, healthier, and smarter, or make more money. So those are the three key components here. I guess I want to be smarter. That's why I said that. But to make money, be happy, and be healthy, you can't go wrong. So if your product or your service or your book can do any of those things, you focus on that. And you say, your readers want to make more money. Well, I run a business that helps create websites, as one of our readers wrote in. That would be Stuart. Stuart wrote that in. So you would probably say, your readers want to make more money. I can show them how by designing better websites, and I can give your readers 5 tips on how to design better websites. And chances are, the reporter would be interested. So that's cool. What else are reporters interested in? They're interested in what's interesting. And what is interesting? Well, you know it when you see it. You know, this is the classic dog bites man, not news. Man bites dog, that's news. So you see this in the newspaper all the time, you know, snowboarder dies in avalanche. You know, that's interesting. Or snowboarder survives avalanche as people pull all the snow away from his face and save him in time. Frankly, I don't know how the story ended, so I'm covering my bases there. Okay, so that's clever that way. And then you can also piggyback on the news. You know, this makes news relevant. And Nancy asks, what compels a writer to run with my story? Well, if you can piggyback on another story, that's a great way to do it. This is a time-honored tradition of getting the news. So let's say every month the government comes out with housing statistics. Well, if you're in the real estate industry, you can call up a reporter and say, hey, the next time the government comes out with those statistics, I can give you the local angle and tell you what's happening locally. And the reporter will probably say, thank you. I need a local resource to do this. Now I know who to call. I won't call any of your competitors because you're easy. And frankly, journalists are like water flowing downhill. They take the easiest path. They don't want to make life difficult for themselves. So if they have your name in their Rolodex, what's a Rolodex, right? If they have your name in their customer, in their CRM file, customer relationship management file, then they're going to call you. So call them up and say, hey, I'm an expert on X, and the next time you have something going on about X, I'd be happy to help you. In fact, Stuart also writes, you know, how can I get publicity on a regular basis? This is exactly how you do it. Stuart says he's a visionary on technology. Well, that's great. So why not call your local tech reporters and say, hey, anytime you are doing a new story on new trends in technology, like the Internet of Things or artificial intelligence or smart cameras or smart cars or whatever, I'd be happy to give you an informed opinion, and they'd be delighted to contact you. So that's how you can get news. This is the easy way of getting news. So let's look at some of our workshop participants and see what their books are, what their messages are, and how we can help them. So let's see. Alan Cohen wrote a book called The Connection Challenge. He thought that the best way to get the message out was to create a press release that says 7 steps for creating a personal statement of purpose. And he wrote a press release about that and sent it out and got a very nice distribution and pickup in the media. And I point this out because there are many ways to build on that. You can take your, write a press release, of course, but you can also turn that into an article and post it on LinkedIn or your blog or your vlog. You could record it to YouTube or your own YouTube channel or your own website. So people who like to learn by listening and watching video, which frankly is becoming a more and more dominant theme on the internet. People just like watching things as opposed to reading things. So that would be a good thing for you to do. And of course, when you get quoted, then you post it in social media. Here's another book, The Groundhog Day is an Event, Not a Business Strategy by Adam Homey. And his key audience is sales and marketing media. And that's an important thing here. Like this, I'm giving you a strategy here. You know, who is your target audience? You might have several different target audiences. You might have several different messages, each particular for that target audience. So think about that, that one size does not fit all. You might have a story that reaches five different audiences. They need five different messages that make it relevant to them. And we'll talk about that going on, but I want to plant the idea here. So let's say, for instance, Adam wants to reach sales and marketing media, and his key message would be, words matter. Are you sabotaging your sales by using the wrong words? You know, this is a book about semantics as opposed to your typical sales and marketing book. Very interesting book. I highly recommend it, as I do all the books in this series that you'll see today. And it just gives you information that you frankly haven't seen in other sales and marketing books. So I'm very, very proud of this book. It's a good book. Okay, so the pitch here is your readers want to know how to make more sales, but do they realize they're actually killing sales by using words that actually repel people? So that's a pretty compelling statement because every person who writes for a sales and marketing magazine has written the same story about how to get how to build their sales. It's the same old stuff, and they're dying for something new, a new angle that they can work on, because frankly, they need to fill their pages. They need new stories and new story ideas, and they get bored by writing the same old things, and their editors don't want them to write about the same old things. So think of a new angle that they haven't seen before. Also, in addition to the traditional media here, like the sales and marketing media, which we've talked about, think about, say, your alumni publications. You know, you've all gone to college. They all have magazines that come out every month or every quarter, and they usually have a section on books by our alums. So this is a great way to get free publicity. They're happy to do it because it makes the school look good. And frankly, there's nothing better than having your picture and your book show up in an alumni publication so you can brag to all of your classmates and show them, look, I made something of myself. You know, how about you? What have you done with your life? So never go wrong there. Okay. The next slide, we don't have a book cover yet because the book isn't out yet. But I've been working with Candy Campbell on her book on improv to improve healthcare, a system for creative problem solving. And her target is the medical media. And what is the biggest concern of people in the medical community? They want to save money. And they also want to reduce errors that lead to death. So again, we're looking at it from their perspective, because this is a book that has a lot of improv techniques and a lot of communication skills, and you can go a lot of different ways with that. But the only way that the medical media is going to care is if she can show them that they can improve communications and therefore reduce the number of errors that lead to death and save money. So again, her pitch is your readers want to know how to save money and reduce patient errors. I have the answer. The answer is improv workshops. And the reporter will probably say, what's improv? What's an improv workshop? Can you give me an example? And at that point, you know you have a story because you've hooked them. And this is the key here. You could not hook a reporter by overdosing them with information. You hook a reporter with one or two sentences because people, they just go wild if you give them too much information. It's like information overload. They just clam up. So the less you say, the more control you have. Now on the next slide, hey, it's my book. Now again, my book is a great book for thought leaders who want to write books. and build their brand, you know, basically so they can build a brand by writing a book, you know, because if you've written a book, you're the expert. So my target for this, and again, I have many different targets, but my target for this are podcasters and writers' blogs, especially podcasters who reach writers or who reach businesses and marketing professionals who say, gee, we're looking for the next bright thing, because we all know that marketers just love bright, shiny objects, and they just can't wait to jump to the next bright, bright, shiny object. So anyone who's selling anything in the marketing community just knows that they'll try your thing for a couple of months and they'll jump off to the next bright, shiny object. So I want them to write a book. So my pitch is, your readers want to know how to write faster and overcome writing hurdles like writer's block. And that way, they can say, gee, I want to write a book, but I'm afraid to. I don't know how to. I don't have the time to, whatever. This guy is going to tell my readers that they can actually do it. They actually can have fun doing this and do it quickly. Well, that sounds interesting. Let's get this guy on our show and talk to him. So that's my goal here. Okay, I'm working with a couple of clients now and writing their memoirs. And memoirs are interesting, because they go through many, many different solutions. They offer many different solutions. So you have to, but they all have one thing in common. Their main message is that the author overcame a problem. I don't want to violate any of my clients' confidentiality agreements here, so I won't talk about them now, but I am reading a book by New York Times columnist Charles M. Blow, who wrote about his childhood, and it's a wonderful, wonderful book. And he talks about his isolation as a child and his sexual abuse as a child and poverty as a child. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book. And this is obviously his message is you can overcome a problem. And then you target the media that covers that problem. So say if it's poverty, he has a poverty angle. If it's sexual abuse, he was abused as a child. He can talk about his own personal experience there. So the idea here is that your readers can be inspired by this person who overcame this problem. And we see that in many different ways. And the memoir books are really selling well. Personal health books are selling well. And people seem to really like to learn by example and overcome their problems and see that, you know, gee, if they could do it, then I could do it too. So it's pretty cool. Here's another example on the next slide. This person sent me her positioning statement, and it really is close to being a perfect pitch. I'll read this to you, and I won't share her name because she didn't give me permission explicitly, and this information could apply to just about anyone, so I'm protecting her identity. I'm the owner of a group psychotherapy practice in this city. Did you know that 40 million adults in the U.S. suffer from an anxiety disorder, and that only 40% of them get the help they need? We help young professionals get back to being productive after anxiety panic. And then the next bullet, we provide individuals and couples psychotherapy. We're open 7 days a week and have licensed mental health professionals who provide evidence-based psychotherapy interventions. And the third bullet, we are seeking to close the gap in access to treatment and want to spread the word. That's what she sent me as a background of like, here's who I am, create a pitch for me. And I wrote back to her and said, this is a perfect pitch. Everything you say in the first bullet should be part of the pitch. The second bullet is really not necessary for a pitch. It's great for your website because it identifies the markets and all that good stuff. But we don't really need that in the pitch because we want to be short. And to say we are seeking to close the gap, you know, that's aspirational, which is always nice. So, but here's what's missing. We need a paragraph that says, I'd like to show you and your readers 5 ways to cure anxiety disorder. I'm not sure if cure is the right word. Reduce may be the right word. Again, that's where the client would use the words that make sense in their profession. So I'd like to show you and your readers 5 ways to cure anxiety disorder. Please contact me. This is the call to action, folks. You need to ask them to do something. Otherwise, they may not, you know, plant the idea in their head. Please contact me so I can share this information with you. And again, cut out the second bullet. And of course, add your contact information. I don't show it here to protect our privacy, but of course you want to show your website, your I wouldn't have any attachments because reporters are definitely afraid of viruses and attachments, even if the email looks legitimate. Wait until you have a relationship with the reporter before you send them any kind of attachments. Now, moving on to the next one. This is perhaps one of my favorite exercises because Angela Latchkey is a surreal artist. And when she sent me her message, they're like, wow, I've never had a surreal artist before. This is going to be interesting and challenging. And I love interesting and challenging. So this is cool. So I went to her website twice and I found two different messages that I'd like to share because this is a great aspirational, inspirational exercise for everyone here. So you think of an artist and you say, well, it's art. What? How can we turn that into a story? This is pretty hard. Well, it actually it isn't because I'm over the top creative and I can take on a challenge. So her key messages on the website are assisting in finding purpose, healing yourself, and bringing peace of mind. That's what her art does. And those are all great ideas that work into many magazines, self-help magazines, self-help articles, improvement articles, peace of mind, yoga journal, heal yourself. There's a medical and self-help and alternative medical magazines and media, finding your purpose. This could be leadership. It could be management. It could be alumni publications. It could be career publications. So it really does lend itself to a lot of different audiences here. So on the next slide, again, for Angela, her mission statement on her website says, where creative artwork can inspire, couch art doesn't. And, you know, frankly, it's probably a topic that most people don't think about. And readers are interested in new trends and colors and fabrics and designs. And that's where your art fits in. So you can show how your art fits into all these categories just by pitching your mission statement to say that creative artwork can inspire, whereas the run-of-the-mill stuff that you get at Target really doesn't. So thank you, Angela. You inspired me to think creatively, and I think that's part of your mission. So it worked. So good for you. Good for us. Okay, so where else do reporters find their story ideas? I'm going to give you an overview here, then we'll go into these in more areas, more detail. They look for other media. They are copycats. You know, they're the biggest stealers ever. They'll look at Time Magazine and say, oh, there's a good story. I think I'll do our local version of Time Magazine story or the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times. So look to see what people are writing about and then play off of that and piggyback off of that, as we've talked about before. They look on social media. You can follow reporters on social media and see what they're writing about and interact with them. And this is a good way to start to build rapport with them. So don't overlook that. This is a great two-way conversation. You'll probably see a lot of troll comments on editorial sites, which are frankly disgusting and really debase the entire idea of the internet. So when you write something positive and affirming and offer more information, reporters are going to sit up and take notice, and they may follow you on your Twitter account or your social media accounts and might strike a relationship, which is great. Then there are also their own editorial calendars, which we'll talk about, and pitch letters, voicemail, and press releases, which we'll go into more detail. Let me just check my notes here. Okay, Anne asks a couple of questions. I think this is a good time to bring up the questions that Anne asks. A couple of them, actually. First, I need to know ways to develop good angles to ride on news stories and how to really time them when it seems or doesn't seem disconnected. Okay, as I said before, there are government reports that come out every month, housing starts, employment statistics. I don't know what field you're in, so I can't go more detailed than that. But basically, there are stories that happen every year, every quarter, every month. There's always a back-to-school story. There's always, you know, hockey tournament update stories, local sports stories. You know, figure out where you fit into those and get onto those editorial calendars in advance. The next slide we'll talk about editorial calendars. So editorial reporters write about the same things every year, every month. So look at their editorial calendars and find out what they're talking about, and then get on their radar a week or month the publication date, so you can get the links. Also, Ann asks, say a media outlet does a story that's right in your niche and topic. Do you pitch them a related angle, or should you not pitch them something that they didn't even know? Okay. Again, a very good set of questions. There's nothing more frightening than picking up a newspaper or trade publication and finding out that they wrote about your competitor or they wrote about your topic and they didn't write about you, because your boss is going to say, you're the PR person, how come we're not in that article? And it's like, you're screwed. So what do? You call the reporter, you email the reporter, and first of all, you congratulate them and say, hey, that's a great article about whatever. Did you know that we're actually the world's leading authorities on whatever? We'd be happy to help you with your next article on this subject. And chances are they are going to write about it again, and they'd be foolish not to include you because you're the world's leading authority, or you wrote a book about this topic, or whatever. So that's one way to handle it. Another way to handle it is to say, hey, I really liked your article on whatever. Did you know that there's another angle on whatever? Here's a new trend and five other ideas you might want to write about this topic, and I'd be happy to give you more information about this topic. So, Anne, I hope those give you good ideas on how to follow up with reporters and get into the next story. And frankly, this is good marketing. This is good research for you, because they're not one and done. They're going to be writing about these topics for a long time. They always want to talk to new people and get new ideas and new sources, and it's hard to find those sources. When I was a reporter for a newspaper, it was really difficult finding new sources. We'd look in the phone book and start calling people up and say, can you comment on this? And say it was a dental story. And half the dental secretaries wouldn't give our message to the dentist. Half the dentists wouldn't call us back because they're afraid of being misquoted or they're on vacation. You'd think that everyone would want to be quoted in the newspaper, but you'd be surprised. There are a lot of people who don't want to be quoted for any number of reasons. And so if you can make yourself available, you will jump past everyone else who is not available. The next slide talks about the editorial calendars. Well, I sort of already talked about that, so let's move to the next one. Reporters look for sources. They use companies like PR Leads and Profit and Harrow, where we basically reverse engineer the leads. Reporters send us information, say, hey, I'm working on a story about whatever, and I need to speak to experts on this topic who can specifically address this issue. Contact me with your ideas. And we've made a nice business of doing that over the last 17 years in our PR lead service. And of course, we've spawned many competitors since then. But reporters still love us, which is great. And you can use our PR lead service, love a special offer at the end of our seminar for that. You can also get ideas by looking at trends. Facebook has a trend section. They have a news section. You can see what's happening there and then piggyback off of that. Same with Twitter. On Facebook, it's part of your news feed. You can see that on your news feed site. And I saw a bunch of trends in Minnesota today, as well as in the world. So chances are they look at what things that you're interested in. So they see basically your business, your company, your industry, and they'll probably send you news ideas that relate to that. And you'll see what other trends are happening that you might not know about that you can jump on. So Facebook is a good use for that. The same with Twitter. You can use hashtags in Twitter and type things like hashtag marketing or hashtag writing or hashtag, tariffs. And find out what writers are writing about that topic and then interact with them. So perfectly legitimate. Also, Google has a trends area where you search Google and type in news, and you can find news about your topic, and you can search for hot trends on your topic, and there's a link there that will help you find that information. You can also follow your competitors. So set up news alerts and Google alerts for your competitors. Follow them on Twitter and on Facebook and LinkedIn and see what they're talking about and what the reporters are writing about, and then piggyback off of their ideas with reporters in the same way. We're going to dig into pitch letters, and I have the feeling that this is what a lot of people on the seminar are looking for and thinking about, like, how do I write a pitch letter? What's a good pitch letter? What are the latest trends in pitch letters? And what works best now? Well, here's some statistics. 81% of the 500 reporters surveyed recently by a company called Fractal prefer email pitches. So just in case you're wondering if this is a valid idea, Yes, it is. Email is probably the number one way that reporters get ideas for stories. Of course, social media is becoming more important. Press releases are always important. They look at competitors, as we've said before, but there's no doubt that email pitch letters work. Now, 88% of reporters want them less than 200 words. Remember what I said before earlier today? They want them short. Now you actually have a number here, 200 words. That's about 10, 15 sentences. It's not a lot, but it's surprising how much you can say in a very short time. I think Twitter has proven that by having 140 characters, you can get your message across. Of course, they've expanded that now, but I think it was a great exercise for humanity to be able to compress their ideas and get their ideas across in a short period of space. You need to do that for reporters as well. Partially it's because of their limited attention span. Reporters are no different than anyone else. We all are having shorter attention spans today. There's no question. Also, a lot of reporters are going to be reading your email pitches on their cell phones. And hold up your cell phone. It's about the size of your hand. There's not a lot of space there, folks. And anything that we have to scroll and scroll and scroll really looks long. So 200 words is what most reporters can deal with. What's the most important part of the message? It's the subject line. 85% of these reporters said they will decide to open the email or not based on the subject line. And if you thought 200 words was short, well, look at the subject line. Only 45 to 65 characters will appear in a subject line, whether on a desktop or on your cell phone. So you must be very direct and concise and descriptive. And the other tip I have for you is to put in a relevant keyword. So they might be writing about Alzheimer's or retirement or financial planning. Those would be good keywords. So financial planning idea or tip or article or such like that. But make sure it doesn't sound like spam. I probably gave you a bad example about financial planning because it's hard to say anything without it looking like it is spam. But use that as an example. Use that as a warning that you only have a few words to use. You want to use your keyword. You want to make it sound interesting. So article to help parents have smarter kids. That would be good. Okay. Now, what time is the best to do this? 69% of the people say that the morning is the best time. Well, we all have different time zones, right? So you would want to use scheduling software for your email. That way you can just set it up for their own time zone. So it hits them first thing in the morning when you're asleep or you're at the gym or you're doing whatever you need to do. So scheduling software will be very good for that. Let's talk about text messages because a lot of reporters like to use that now, but they only want text messages from people they know. So that's where relationships matter. And that's why I said you should meet reporters first on Facebook and Twitter. You should meet them at conferences and build up a trust with them. And that way they'll want to see your messages. Let's talk now about voicemail. Most reporters are going to screen their calls. It's very rare that anyone picks up their phone anymore and answers. They use the telephone as a screening device. And that's okay. If you get someone's voicemail, that's a perfect opportunity for you to deliver a 20 or 30 second pitch that tells the reporter, hey, I have a story idea for you. I think your readers are interested in having happier, healthier, smarter kids, and my software program helps parents reduce their stress while teaching their kids how to be happier and healthier. If you'd like more information, please call me or email me at this phone number or this email address, or check out our website at thiswebsiteaddress.com. Very simple. I don't know if anyone's timing me. It definitely took less than 30 seconds. So it can be done. And remember, the less you say, the more control you're going to have over capturing the reporter's attention. And just to put all this in perspective, remember, reporters write one story a day, maybe two. Do you know how many pitches they get a day? Oh, 20, 40, 60, 100. So if you are good, you will stand out. But regardless, it's a numbers game. You just have to keep on plying away with it. And the same with PR leads and Profit and Harrell as well. You know, reporters are looking for three or four people in their story. They're going to get 75 to 100 or even more responses. But you just keep on plugging away, and you'll find many, many people have had tremendous success using all of those services, because you could be one of the three or four people this time, maybe not every time, but if you position your article and your information correctly, there's a good chance reporters will want to use it, because so many people don't. On the next slide, we're going to talk about press releases. And press releases are a good way for pitching reporters, because reporters need ideas. Reporters always go to the PR Newswire website. That's the service we use to distribute our press releases. There are a number of press release distribution services. We use them because, frankly, the most reporters use their website to look for ideas. They don't look on the free sites because there's a lot of spam and garbage and fly-by-night companies on some of those free sites. Not to say that they don't have legitimate press releases. They do. But reporters don't want to waste their time figuring out if the company is legitimate or not. So they go to places like PR Newswire because they know that PR Newswire vets all those press releases to make sure that these are legitimate companies with legitimate information. So that's why we use PR Newswire. And if you haven't had good results with press releases, it very well might be because you're not using PR Newswire or our working relationship with them. So what makes for a good press release? News. Well, many of you are going to have new books, or your books have won awards. That is good information for a press release. Information is also good. I've had many clients who have new books who will come out with a tips-based press release. So 10 ways to find a job, 10 ways to write a resume. You know, career expert Joe Smith shows 10 ways to find a job in today's economy. That would be a good headline because it has the keyword, you know, career expert has the person's name. So if someone is looking for you to check you out, they'll say, I'm wondering what Joe Smith is. Is he respected? So they type Joe Smith and see he's a career expert. He's been written up in all these publications because of these keywording techniques that we use for the headline that make it stand out. So it reflects positively on you and builds your brand. So obviously the keywords are very important. You want to have the right keywords in the right place, and they very well could show up in Google. So here's a tip for you. Whenever we write a press release for a new book, it's always new keyword book shows blah, blah, blah. So new environmental book shows how to save the planet. Bingo. New parenting book shows how to raise happier, healthy kids. So parenting book. People look for parenting books, and that's how they will find your book. And here's another idea for the book writers out there. Look at each of your chapters from a reporter's frame of mind and ask yourself, what is news or how does this tie into the news? And you very well might find a link there. Then you would write a headline. You'd write a one-sentence pitch letter. You know, brainstorm about this. You know, use index cards to write your headlines and your sentences and your notes. And chances are you can turn your book into 10 different press releases or 10 different pitch ideas to meet the needs of 10 different reporters in 10 different areas. Let's look at social media, the S and the peso model. You are the publisher, and this is a great thing because now you can reach directly out to your audiences. So you can write an article or you can convert a press release. You might have written a response to PR Leads and by having two or three tips to a reporter, and then add a few more tips and turn that into an article. You can post that information on your blog. You can post it to LinkedIn. You can use social media to tell the world. It really is a wonderful, wonderful game changer for everyone to be able to work with the media on the one hand and then bypass the media on the other hand and get your message directly out there. And one key way to amplify this is by using hashtags, because some people will be looking for hashtags on marketing or the environment or whatever your issue is, retirement planning, whatever, real estate. And if you put those hashtags in there, there's a good chance your prospects will find you. So what will happen when you plan your publicity properly? Frankly, you'll build your brand and you'll stand out from your competition. You won't be a commodity any longer. And all this is important because you'll be able to charge and get premium fees. So that's the bottom line. Frankly, you'll also be seen as an authority. And authorities are invited to speak, be on panels, webinars, and podcasts so you get even more visibility and more sales. And for some people, frankly, it's ego. You know, it's nice to be recognized, and we all have a need for approval and acceptance. So, as I mentioned before, you know, well, we have helped a lot of clients with our PR leads service, and this is our service to the reporters who send your requests to comment on articles they are writing. And there's more info on that at prleads.com. And we have a special offer for everyone on this call. You can get 3 months of service for the price of two. It's only $99 a month. So for a total of $198, not $297, you get 3 months of service. Plus, you get personalized training from me, Dan Janelle, to make sure that you get off to a good start. Now, I also mentioned that writing a book is a great way to build a brand, and you don't have to do it yourself. Ken Blanchard, who's pictured here with me, told me that he loves to co-author books because he learns a lot from each other. And there are many benefits from working with a book coach or a ghostwriter or a co-author or a developmental editor, and that is that you get guidance and feedback. You also get accountability. You know, there are people who just need to say, you know, I'll have this done for you by next Tuesday, but if I don't have a deadline, I won't get it done. Your partner could also have contacts and referrals that you don't have. And in the end, you'll end up saving time and save money. And again, you'll learn from each other. So those are some things that I can help you with. And if you're wondering if we should work together, well, for those of you who don't know me well, I have written 13 books, including 8 books for Wiley, you know, international publisher. I am an award-winning daily newspaper reporter and a business newspaper reporter, so I know the technical aspects of business and finance. I have bachelor's and master's degrees from Northwestern University, and I've interviewed many people, including President Gerald Ford and First Lady Barbara Bush, and I've written thousands and thousands of newspaper articles and blogs over the last 30 years. So I invite you now to take action. You can schedule a free 20-minute session with me. We call this the What's Holding You Back coaching session with me. There's absolutely no obligation. Just pick a time on my schedule app, and we can talk about book coaching or developmental editing. If you have any questions about PR leads, I can turn you over to my client team there, who can explain more how that works directly for you. And that would be great. It'd be my pleasure to see how we can help you there. So I want to thank you for attending today's session. I hope you got a lot out of it. If you do have additional questions, please feel free to email me at dan@prleads.com. And I do invite you to sign up for the book coaching session at the link below. Write your book at aflash.com/coaching and learn more about our services. So thank you very much for coming today, and I hope to work with you in the future. Have a great day. Goodbye.